Now, in the first part of our service, we've been thinking about the evidence for Jesus being alive from the dead. Now, when Luke says that Jesus came alive from the dead, he knows that he's making an amazing claim. And through the years, there will be people who will struggle with that claim. I mean, people don't normally rise from the dead, do they? That's why Luke gives us so much evidence for Jesus being alive as he gives his account of the Easter story. He interviews eyewitnesses, people who were really there, who saw it happen, who saw that Jesus alive. First, there were the women. Do you remember the women? Earlier in the chapter, they go to the tomb and it's early on Sunday morning. They're wondering how they're going to roll this heavy stone away from the grave because they want to anoint Jesus' body for burial. But what do they find when they arrive? They find that the stone has already been moved away from the stone. It's been rolled away and there's no body in the tomb. And so there was that first piece of evidence. They find that Jesus really is alive. There's nobody in the tomb. And they meet the angels who tell the frightened women, Jesus is not here. He has risen just as he promised. Having been crucified, he's now risen from the dead. And then what happens next? Well, then we read about in that account in Luke chapter 24 that Peter hears about the women speaking, hears them telling this news, and he runs to the tomb. And Dr. Luke writes in his detective notebook that Jesus' tomb was empty, just as the women had said. It was exactly the way they described it. The tomb was empty and there was nobody in the tomb. Peter is giving his evidence too. And then if you were to go on a little bit further on in the same chapter, Jesus writes about two of his disciples, on a journey to a place called Emmaus. You might remember last year we made that the real focus of our Easter service. And they're walking along the road. And as they walk along the road, they're so sad. Their faces are cast down. They're looking down at the floor. And then a stranger comes alongside them. And they tell the stranger, as he asks them why they're so sad, about why it is that they're sad. And the stranger talks to them and explains how the whole Bible, the Old Testament, tells the story of God's rescuer and how God's rescuer had to would have to suffer and die and would rise again from the dead. It had all been God's plan all along. God wasn't taken by surprise. Well, the stranger is walking with them, and as they come towards their home, the stranger looks as if he's going to go on further, but they invite him in for a meal. And as they eat, they suddenly realize that it was Jesus himself. Their eyes are opened and they realize that the stranger was the risen Jesus. It's another piece of evidence that Luke writes into his reporter's notebook. These two disciples were so excited, they ran all the way back to Jerusalem with the message, "The Lord has risen indeed." Well, Luke's packing in the evidence, isn't he? And then we read earlier the passage from Luke 24 that Graham read to us. And Jesus is there with his disciples. He appears in the upper room. And Luke tells us how Jesus appears as they're gathered together. Luke's given us a whole lot of evidence that Jesus is alive. Just like Bethany gave us evidence that she was alive, speaking, being touched, eating, being seen. Luke piles up the evidence that Jesus really is alive. The fact of the Easter story is that Jesus is alive, and that is good news. And we have so much evidence in the Gospels that we can be sure Easter happened just as it said it would in the Bible, verse 44. And that's what Dr. Luke records in his notebook when he writes in verse 45, "Then Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. he told them, this is what was written, Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Not only through the Bible, but throughout Jesus' ministry, Jesus keeps telling his disciples that he would rise again from the dead, that he would be arrested by the religious leaders, that he would die on a cross, that by his death he would pay the price for sin, and that he would rise, that those who know him would see him again, and that he would pay the price by his death and resurrection for their sins. Again and again, he kept sharing the message, and the disciples didn't believe. But now he was alive. It had happened exactly as Jesus had said it would. He'd done what he said he would do. He died, and he really had risen from the dead. So the thing is, if the fact of the story is that Jesus is alive, what's the message of the story? If the fact is that Jesus is alive, what's the message of the story? Well, it's there in the passage that was read to us earlier. Let me read it to you again from Luke chapter 24 and verses 47 and 48. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of all these things. Now, I've got a little graphic here. I might just stand up for this one. There we go. So because Jesus is alive, what can we say? What does it mean that because Jesus is alive? Well, when the stone was rolled away, when Jesus broke out of the tomb, because Jesus is alive, it means... My graphic's not working here very well. I think it's gluing. It means we can be forgiven. We can be forgiven. Because Jesus is alive, we can be forgiven. That's great news, isn't it? That's great news. The Bible says that because Jesus is alive, we can be forgiven. The message of the story is that Jesus is alive so that we can be forgiven. And why is forgiveness so important? We might say, well, so I don't feel so guilty. We might say, so that I can go to heaven. And these are all important reasons. But the reason that we need forgiveness is that we might come to know the living God for whom we were made. We were made to know God and to live in fellowship with him. But our sin is like a huge barrier between us and God, stopping us coming to know him, stopping us from being in relationship with him. The Bible says that Jesus came to break down that barrier of our sin. Listen to how Peter puts it that we've been reading about in one of his letters. Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous, that's Jesus, for the unrighteous, that's us. But why does he do it? The verse goes on, that he might bring us to God. If we're to know God, we must have our sins forgiven. There's no other way to know God. Our sin is too great a barrier. But forgiveness is only possible because Jesus is alive. See, if Jesus was still in the grave, how could we possibly know that it is finished, as Jesus said on the cross? Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we know that his Father had accepted his death. And there is forgiveness of sin. And that's why the Bible gives us so much evidence. Because if Jesus didn't die, if he didn't rise from the dead, there is no forgiveness of sins. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul writes, and if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. We are still in our sins. We're still unforgiven. We're still separated from God. Right from the beginning, God's plan had always been to rescue sinners by making a way for us to be forgiven and to know him. Jesus had stayed on the cross. If he'd stayed in the tomb, we could never know that the sacrifice was sufficient. But because Jesus is alive, the sacrifice was enough. Jesus paid it all. But we might say, how can I be sure that my sins are forgiven? How can I be sure that my sins have been taken away? Well, we see the answer in our passage, don't we? Verse 47. It tells us what happens when we repent. What does repent mean? That's right. Repent means to turn away from our sin, to turn to Jesus. It means to stop living life our way and to start living life God's way. When you repent of your sin, when you turn to Jesus Christ, trusting in his death and resurrection, recognizing that it was for you that God did it. When you trust in him, God does something wonderful within you. He takes away your sin and your guilt because Jesus died on the cross. He washes you clean from your sin. But you might say, but what about all the things that I've done, all those many things I've done wrong? How could all of those be forgiven by Jesus dying on the cross? Well, Jesus was the Son of God. And Jesus died and rose again that we might know that our sins are taken away. But God doesn't just take away our sin. He gives us his perfection or his righteousness. With the sin barrier removed, and you can come into a living, personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And God himself comes to live within you by his Holy Spirit. This is the wonderful message of Easter. I hope that living message is one that you have embraced, one that you have welcomed. It's not enough just to know the Easter message, but it needs to be personally applied to your life by God's Holy Spirit. But there's one more thing I want to say before we close. Because Jesus is alive, we have an amazing message to share. Because Jesus has died for sins and because he is alive, we have the best message ever to share with the people around us. And that's what it says, what Jesus says there in our passage. Because God wants every person to be forgiven and to come into a relationship with him, he sends us out, we who know him, we have been forgiven, with a message of good news. Verse 48, you are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. So the message of Jesus, the message of Easter, is that Jesus is alive. And whoever repents, turns from their sin, trusts in Jesus Christ, will be forgiven. That is good news, isn't it? But it's not something that we can keep to ourselves. It's a message that we're to share with others. Even if you have to do it staying 2 meters apart. Even if you have to do it on your Facebook page. Even if you have to do it in your letters. Perhaps that would be a great thing to do. In our telephone conversations. Because of Easter, we have a living hope. But you know, sometimes even though this is the best news ever, sharing it can be quite scary, can't it? But did you notice what Jesus says to his disciples? He promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to help them and give them the power they needed to tell this good news. He would give them the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit, to give them the words to speak. He makes the same promise to us 2,000 years later, as we share this amazing good news that Jesus is alive, that we can be forgiven. Because Jesus is alive, those who hear us can live, not just in this world, but in the life to come with God forever. That is the best news for Easter, isn't it? It's news worth celebrating. It's news that we should share, and it's news that we should live. I trust that each one of us, boys and girls, adults, that each of you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave it another Easter. Trust in him today. He's only a prayer away. Turn from your sin turn to Christ and he will welcome you. This is the Easter message.